this part of the draft report. In terms of the chapeau of paragraph 18, we note the reference to both unintended engagements, which, as we understand it, is not an IHL notion, in combination with incidental harm to civilians. The latter presumes that autonomous weapon strikes, that an autonomous weapon strikes an intended type of target and is concerned with preventing harm to civilians. The former, therefore, presumably covers accidental as well as perhaps incidental harm, both to civilians and perhaps to other persons and to objects protected against attack, notably combatants hors de combat. In subparagraph A, we welcome the proposed limits on targets, and indeed the ICRC recommends being more specific, such as constraining targets to objects that are military objectives by nature, as opposed to military objectives by, for example, location, purpose, or use. In subparagraph B, equally, we welcome the limits proposed on duration, geographical scope, and scale of operation. And here, too, the ICRC recommends being more specific and comprehensive, including to ensure effective human supervision and timely intervention and deactivation, and constraining use to situations where civilians and civilian objects are not present. Finally, on subparagraph C, we welcome the recognition that the application of IHL calls for human judgment and the exercise of human control in a context-dependent manner. Indeed, a certain measure and quality of human control is required to comply in practice with international humanitarian law. However, and this is a comment that does not only concern paragraph 18, but is valid for other paragraphs as well, throughout the report, to be more accurate, the term operators should be amended perhaps to something like users, or one could specify and be more clear that IHL obligations bear not only on people termed operators, but on all commanders and others responsible for planning, deciding upon, or executing attacks. And this is a point that I believe the delegate from Australia has raised as well. Numerous states have expressed the view that military commanders and others responsible for planning, deciding upon, or executing attacks have to reach decisions on the basis of their assessment of the information from all sources which is available to them at the relevant time. And manuals also stress that the commander must obtain the best possible intelligence, including information on concentrations of civilian persons, important civilian objects, and so on. So all of these considerations should be kept in mind when specifying the sorts of limits and controls that are needed to address the risks to civilians and others protected in armed conflict. I would also like to sort of perhaps ask for some clarity in regard to suggestions made by different delegations to refer to human command or a chain of command or a responsible chain of human command in this context, but also in the context of paragraph 17b. This is a relatively abstract notion, and it is not, human command as such is not the entity to which international legal rules on individual and state responsibility attach. So we would recommend, we would equally recommend in this context a formulation that avoids an implication that individuals and states are only responsible for attacks that are conducted within a formal and or responsible command structure. Indeed, individuals are criminally responsible for war crimes they commit, irrespective of whether they do so within or outside of a formal command structure. I'll leave it at that for the moment. Thank you very much, Chair.